let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. And all the saints that loved and believed in God said amen. And amen. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, there is a word from the Lord. Look at one more person and tell them, neighbor, there is a word from the Lord. And I am a lover of the word of God. Those of you that have your Bibles, and I trust that every soldier has a sword, go on in and hold that power up in there. Right, it's your phone or whatever, hold it up. Let the devil know you didn't come to this place empty-handed. Amen. Because everything is going down but the word of our God. The book of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel beginning at chapter number 14. Very familiar passage. Amen. Matthew chapter 14. And we are going to begin reading at verse number 23. Amen. That's Matthew 14, beginning at verse number 23. When you have it, say amen. Amen. The Bible gives us this intelligence. And when he had set the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter had come out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. God bless you. You all may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. Cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Just for the next few moments, I want to talk about distractions. That's the title of this. It's just simply put, distractions. Job 14 and 1 says that a man is born of a woman and is of a few days, and those days are full of trouble. Those days are full of trouble, which tells us that we have a life that we're going to have some hard times in. We are having a life that we're going to have some ups and downs, some bumps and bruises. There's going to be some days that we're not happy. There's going to be some days we don't want to deal with no one. There's going to be some days that we're not going to want to get out of bed. There's going to be some hard times and hard days in our lives. And if you wanted to just sum those days up just in one word, I will tell you those are distractions. The distractions in our lives come for multiple reasons. Some distractions come to teach us and grow us in God. Other distractions come to tear us down in its own way. And I want you to understand now that during this day and time, right now, we cannot afford to be distracted by the enemy. There's so much going on, and there's so many things that are happening right now. The world is changing so biblically right now. And I want to urge you and tell you that these distractions are coming for one reason, and that is to kill, steal, and destroy. I know that verse sounds familiar, that the distractions are coming life, for to kill, steal, and destroy. The Bible tells us that the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. And what I want you to understand, that even though we are trying to live an abundant life, there are going to be some days that we encounter distractions. The life that we walk, we're trying to live, it's going to be difficult if you allow it to be. I'm not going to sit up here and make it seem like I got it all together. I'm not going to sit up here and make it seem like I am perfect. I'm not going to sit up here and make it seem like that I am the closest thing next to Jesus Christ. I am messed up, towed down, busted, and disgusted. And that is because a lot of times that I have allowed distractions to tear me down. And I want you to understand that in this time right now, what we are doing as a body of Christ, we are allowing distractions to tear us down. And distractions are meant to separate us from God. Distractions are meant to separate us from God. Webster gives us the definition of distraction as a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. The Bible teaches that distractions are spiritual, emotional ways that hinder believers to focus on God and their divine purpose. It is advised and it is there to throw believers off of their purpose. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 warns us that worries and worldly things can cause anxiety. And what we got to understand is anxiety is one of the biggest silent killers. Did y'all just hear what I said? I'm going to say it again. Anxiety is one of the biggest silent killers, because when we are anxious and we have anxiety, we are all over the place. We then become what the Bible calls us double-minded, and that's a terrible thing to be when you're double-minded. When you are living for Christ, you have to set your mind up on Christ and the things of Christ. If your mind is not stayed on him, it is impossible for him to keep you in perfect peace. That is what the Bible tells us. And in Isaiah chapter number 26, God reminds us that if you keep your mind on me, I can keep you in perfect peace. I can keep you with this abundant life. I can keep you in the word. I can keep you in good character. I can keep my promises. Rather than the trials you're going through, focusing on them, focus your mind on God. The Bible teaches us also in Romans to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is your reasonable service, as it tells us, to present our body as a living sacrifice. I want us to understand that distractions come to mess with our minds, to throw us off of our game, and to separate us from the purpose that God actually has for us. As we read in the text, Jesus has just now got through feeding the 5,000 with two fish and five loaves of bread. The disciples have now witnessed this wonderful miracle. Amen. Amen. Now at this time, Jesus is going on about his own business, and he set the disciples on across the sea. Now, here's what's crazy about this. At the time, disciples got into a point of no return. That is mean they're dead smack in the middle of the sea. It's not enough time for you to go back, and it's not enough time for you to try to retreat or anything. The only thing you can do is either stand still or move forward. They have nowhere to go, and now all of a sudden, the wind is now coming. The storm is being picked up. Everything was going good. And have you been there? When everything has just been going good, then out of nowhere, a storm hits your boat. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, I had a storm hit my boat. I had a storm hit my boat. Everything was going good. But then all of a sudden, this storm just came and hit my boat. Not only did it start raining, but the wind was going to and fro, tossing the boat every which way. The Bible tells us that the disciples were so afraid, and out of nowhere they see a figure walking on the water. And immediately they got scared. They thought it was a ghost. I want you to understand something, that when you are distracted, it is hard for you sometimes to recognize God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for that. It is hard for you to recognize God when you have allowed yourself to be distracted. That's why it is important for us to keep our mind on him. And it's not easy. Don't get me wrong. Because some distractions come and really mess you up. Amen? Yeah. Some distractions come and really just change your whole mindset and your whole train of thought about what you were thinking about. It's not easy at times keeping your mind stayed on Jesus, especially when you have all these worldly things going on. You got to worry about food. You got to worry about the kids. You got to worry about your job. You got to worry about your health. You got to worry about all of that. But here's what's crazy. Everything that we're worried about, Jesus said, cast it all onto me. God said, I want it all. I want it all. I don't need you holding on to it. Just bring it to me and lay it here at the altar. But because our fleshly side wants us to handle all of these distractions ourselves, and in the process of us trying to handle all these distractions ourselves, we end up messing things up or making it worse. Amen? Amen. Let's get back on this right here. So now they see this figure out. Because they're focused on the distraction, they're not recognizing who this person is, who they was just with just a few hours ago. Amen? So now what's going on is they look and they cry out. They're scared. They're immediately scared at this time. And then Jesus tells them, don't be afraid, for it is I. It is me, who you was just with. Now here's what's crazy. Peter decides to challenge Jesus. Peter says, well, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you. Jesus said one word, come. Peter gets out the boat, and he is walking on water. I'm going to say that again for the people in the back just because you missed it. Peter gets out the boat. And he is now walking on water. Ain't it good to know that when you have aligned yourself with God, you can do things that nobody thought you can do? Amen. When you have Jesus in your presence, God will set his divine purpose up for you. Amen. You will be set up in positions that you didn't even think you can do. You will have people looking at you crazy because God's divine purpose and his miracle working power has now resided on you. Oh, somebody ought to give God some praise right there. You got to align yourself up with Jesus. Peter's now walking on water. And now we get to the root of this right here. Peter is doing all of this miracle power right now, walking on water, not a care in the world, until the wind picks up even harder, until it gets even worse, until it gets so scary that Peter forgot his divine purpose at that time. Peter's divine purpose was coming to Jesus. Peter's divine purpose comes. But because of the distractions of what was going on right then, because the wind got so bad, the storm got so hard, Peter then lost focus on what his purpose was. That's what distractions will do. That is what distractions will do in everyday life. Now let's just talk about a few things right quick. We have professional distractors. And we have them right here in the church. You got people that comes to church literally to distract what God is trying to do. You got people come in with attitudes and got their personal problems and got all these issues that they want to put on everybody else. These are distractions. They mess around with the congregation. They mess around with the choir. They mess around with the music. They do all this drama and cause and then walk out like they don't know what's going on. And because some of us are not strong enough in our faith and our walk with Christ, we allow it to happen. You got professional distractors on your job. You come into your job every day, do your job, and sometimes people just don't like you. And here's the problem. We care. Some of us care. Oh, such and such don't like me. I wonder why she don't like me. I wonder why he don't like me. What did I do to them? Now watch this. Then you realize you focus so hard on why brother such and such or sister such and such don't like you. You forgot you got a job to do. Now you done fell behind on your job because you're too busy being distracted by the wrong thing. Yes. Distractions come in every which way. especially when you are trying to live for Christ. Especially when you are searching God for your deliverance and your purpose. The enemy does not want you to realize the divine purpose that God has for you. But I come to tell you today, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of how tough the situation are, you are looking at a witness can tell you that Jesus loves you. I'm not going to stand up here and make it seem like that everything's been hunky-dory with me. But I can honestly tell you that I am a living, walking testimony on what God can do. I'm not going to sit up here and act like it wasn't just a few weeks I was dealing with alcohol. I'm not going to sit up here and act like it wasn't just a few weeks I was locked up. But I'm going to sit up here and tell a dying world that Jesus loves you. Jesus is here to save you. He is here to deliver you. He is here to set you free. He is here to take control of your life. He is here to give you everything you need. He is here to take your mind, renew it, and put you in perfect peace.
Amen.
You don't have to live by the distractions of the world. But you can live in the abundance life that Christ has set for you. Peter starts focusing more on the problem and lost sight of the purpose. He started focusing on the winds and the storm instead of focusing on the peace that surpasses all understanding. He started focusing on the problem and forgot the purpose. And in the process of that, when you have been distracted, when we get distracted, we end up just like Peter and start sinking. We start going down because now we have taken our eyes off of the one person that is guiding our lives, after the one person that is walking with us, after the one person who gave us the power and the authority.
All right.
We then start to sink. And when you start sinking, oh, ain't no telling what happens when you start sinking. But here's the beauty side. The Bible tells us that Peter started sinking, and out of nowhere, he cried out. He yelled out for the Lord. He yelled out for his Savior. It was last week when I preached one of the seven last sayings entitled, Cry Out. It is important to realize when you need to cry out to the Lord. It is important to realize when you know you need God's help. It is important to realize when you know God is on your side, regardless on what, there's nothing you have done so bad that God cannot save your life. There's nothing you have done so bad that God cannot come in and clean you up and change you around. There's nothing you have done so bad where you are separated from the love of God. I want you to know there is nothing you have done so bad to where you cannot get set free and delivered on today if you just turn your life completely over to God and set yourself up aligned with your star player. I remember when LeBron James decided to go to the Lakers. Y'all remember that time, some of my basketball people. Now, here's what's crazy. At that time, if you remember this, at that time, the Lakers already had a star-stacked team. They were, and now you bring in King James. Now you bring in LeBron James. And you would have thought that that year was a winning year. You got all this set up. Here's what's crazy. When LeBron James came to the Lakers, it dismantled the entire Lakers playbook and all of that. Because now you have all of these players, but you have no one to align them up with. The goal was to bring in King James and set him up as the star player. And everybody focus and align themselves up behind LeBron James. But if I'm not mistaken, them first two or three years of him being there, I know the first year, I don't even think they made it to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I say all that to say this, that nothing in your life will work if you do not align yourself up with your star player. If you do not align your life up with Christ, nothing will be successful. Peter cried out to God at a time where he was sinking. And before Peter got too far up under, Jesus reached down and saved him. I think I need to say this one more time. There's nothing you have done so devastating in your life where God cannot reach down and save you. There's nothing you have said other than just denouncing Christ. And here's what's crazy. Even with that, you could still be reborn. There's nothing that was done where Jesus won't save you. You may still go through some things. Because as we just learned in Bible study, our sin is not always without consequences. But Jesus was right there. And Peter doubted God right there. Right there doubted. He's already walking on water. He's already just, it's amazing. You don't even have to vision Peter do it. Just think about yourselves. Jesus just said one word. Peter challenged him and said, if that's really you, then command me to come out here and walk on this water to you. Come. That's all Jesus said. Come. Ain't it good to know how one word can change everything? How one word can change everything. Let me tell you why you are not without distractions, and then I'm going to go to my seat. Jesus was not without distractions. Satan came to Jesus three times and tried to distract him. And God turned around, and one of my favorite ones said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And then told him, get thee behind me, Satan. I want you to understand something. To defeat your distractions, you got to throw the word at God. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope for a future. When you want to defeat the distractions, you got to throw the word back at the devil saying that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. When you want to defeat distractions, you got to remind the devil, for God I live, and for God I will die. When you want to defeat distractions, you got to remind the devil that the Lord is my shepherd, and that I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness that is good for his name's sake. But yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff anoint my head with oil, thy cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. When you want to defeat the distractions that the devil is throwing at you, remind him when he thinks he's breaking you down, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When the enemy wants to bring distractions up to him, you remind him that I serve a living Savior. And he's in the world today. I know that he is living despite what men may say. I see his hand of mercy and I hear his voice of cheer. And just when I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Oh God. Defeating the voice of distraction takes the word of God. It's not going to be easy, but it's beneficial. Because distractions also builds our faith. I was distracted this week by a setback. And I thank God that I got good people in my life that allow me to mope for a little bit. But not too long, though. Every now and again, saints of God, we need someone to kick us in the tail every now and again and remind us that everything's going to be all right. This setback is a setup for your comeback. And to make sure your next move become your best move. Peter was distracted by the winds. I'm going to say this and I'm going to go sit down. Here's the beauty side of the ending of that story. The Bible says that after he saved Peter, and then it says this, and when they had got in the boat, the very thing that was protecting them from the storm got in the boat with them. There's nothing too hard for God. Distractions are going to come. But in order to defeat these distractions, we have to throw the word of God back at them. I'm not just telling y'all, I'm telling my own self right now, that don't focus on the problems. But just remember the purpose that God has set for you. May God bless you and may God keep you is my prayer.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."